Well, you've got two sleeps left, as they say. Two more occasions in which you can get a little bit of rest from all the busyness of this time of year. There is so much to get done, isn't there? And I can never work out what should be done by when or for whom. And what was the last posting date for Australia? We have, my wife and I, we have relatives there. And I'm glad that she's always very prepared. And she's got in her mind in early November that we've got to get the presents and we've got to get the catch of the last, well, one of the earlier posts, we hope, so it gets all the way halfway around the world for our relatives to receive in time for Christmas rather than the New Year. Are you always rushing at the last minute trying to get things done? Now, we do try to be organised, don't we? We know it is better than the alternative. I expect most of us can remember those years when we've been so stressed out because we've left everything to the last minute. We did our Christmas shopping the day on Christmas Eve and we came home exhausted from those shops and suddenly we realised we'd forgotten one vital present, one vital ingredient for Christmas. And it's too late even for Amazon or lastminute.com for us to do anything about it. Well, I hope you are very well organised, that you're not going to be frantically searching for your food over the next 2 days or for presents to your loved ones. You should, of course, have posted all your cards by now, though I suppose there is a possibility that if you post it first thing in the morning, a card with a first-class stamp might get there before Christmas, but I wouldn't expect it to be the case. But you do have two more days in which to get all your presents, if you haven't got them yet, and to wrap them and put them under the tree and look at everyone's happy faces as they receive your gifts. But have you settled your menu? Is it turkey? Is it chicken, goose, or just to be really different, have you ordered, settled on roast beef and Yorkshire pudding for Christmas Day? I can remember my mum asked me once, what do you want us to eat? And I said, roast beef, please. Christmas Day, roast beef. She was very kind and she did cook us roast beef. What about a Christmas pudding? Are you going to be one of those people who buys your Christmas pudding from the local supermarket? These days, so many of them say that they've been matured for 3 months or 6 months or even a year so that it gives time for all the flavours to infuse. But of course, if you made your own, did you make it up on Stir Up Sunday? That's the last Sunday before Advent, if you didn't know it. That was November the 24th this year. That's traditionally the time to get your Christmas pudding made. It does allow that time for all the juices to mingle and to give you a fuller flavour. Now, you might think it's an odd name to give to the last Sunday before Advent. Stir Up Sunday. Well, if this were an Anglican church and we went through the prayer book, then on the 24th of November we would have read these words: Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they may plenteously bring forth the fruit of good works, may of thee be plenteously rewarded through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. But of course, That collect, as it's known, had nothing to do with Christmas puddings. It was designed to get people to be thinking of doing good, particularly at this time of the year. And don't we do that? Don't we so often give to charities at this time of the year to enable those who are poor and needy to have something of the cheer of Christmas time? But are you fully prepared for Christmas? Have you planned everything? Are you certain that come 1 minute past midnight on Christmas Day, there won't be that sudden thought that wakes you up and say, I've forgotten something. I've forgotten someone. How much planning do you put in to having a good Christmas? How early do you start your planning? Are you one of those ultra-organized people who makes lists of every year make a list of the cards you received from people and the cards you sent to people and the presents you got and the presents you sent, just so you don't suffer from that horribly embarrassing act of sending to someone a present you received from them? It does happen, you know, people do that. They do make that mistake, but perhaps you buy your presents in January. Be ultra prepared for everything. How long-term planning do you have when it comes to Christmas? The shop owners, the big supermarkets, they've been planning for Christmas almost from just after last Christmas. What sold well? What didn't sell at all? And they organise for this Christmas according to last Christmas. Always trying to find out the in thing at the moment. There is a saying, I don't know if you're aware of it, but I'm sure most of us ignore it, that if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. If you don't plan properly, you're going to end up failing in whatever enterprise you're doing. But have you ever thought how long it took to sort out the first Christmas? How long it was? All the planning that was involved? Now, we know from the Bible that Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, in that stable in Bethlehem. But Joseph and Mary didn't live in Bethlehem. They lived many miles to the north in a place called Nazareth. So why did they travel to Bethlehem days before Jesus was born? Well, they didn't just think, oh, we'll have a change. After all, Mary was near the end of her term of 9 months. They went there because Caesar had decided he needed to tax everyone. It's a common theme throughout societies, throughout the world. Caesar wanted to be able to get tax from everyone. And to do that, he ordered that everyone would go back to their ancestral home to be registered so that the right amount of tax would be paid by them. And Mary and Joseph, because Joseph had come from Bethlehem, he had to go back there. How long before Jesus was born did Caesar decide to have that census? It couldn't be a last minute thing. It couldn't be a spur of the moment decision. He had to think well in advance. He had to probably 3-6 months in advance be saying, I'm going to order that we have a census. I want to get my taxes. Because if people had to travel, that would take time. The messages would have to go out. People would have to travel so that at the time when Jesus was born, everyone was in the right place. 3 months, 6 months perhaps. God was obviously planning well beforehand so that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Not a day or two beforehand, but months beforehand because of that census. Jesus had to be born in Bethlehem because one of the other Old Testament prophets had written this. But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, for from you will come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. And if you can remember the events of that first Christmas time, you'll remember that Herod, King Herod, the wise men came and spoke to Herod, and he had to ask all the religious leaders, where is this king to be born? And they told him, to be born in Bethlehem. Jesus was that king, and he had to be born in Bethlehem. So God had to arrange, God was planning for that birth to happen on that day. But of course, Mary's pregnancy was planned by God. It wasn't another spur-of-the-moment decision. It lasted 9 months long, as most do. It was the usual term. So to prepare for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem, on that day, God had to be working 9 months earlier. God's plans were in place. In fact, a little before that, Gabriel, the angel Gabriel, went to Mary, as we've read, and told her that she would become pregnant. She would give birth to a son, and he would be the Son of the Most High, who would be a king in the line of David. And then, of course, the angel appeared to Joseph and told him that Mary had not been unfaithful to him, but that the Holy Spirit had caused caused Jesus to be conceived in Mary's womb. And he was to name that child, that son, Jesus. God was planning Christmas a long, long time in advance. But of course he'd arranged for Joseph and Mary to be betrothed. We don't know for how long they were betrothed. But Joseph was of the line of David. He was one of the descendants of King David. So we have to go back a few more months for them to meet and for the arrangement for their marriage to take place, with probably a good year before the great day of Christmas. There are lots of things that God had to plan, lots of things that had to be arranged for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem on that day. A lot of long-term planning was taking place, organizing, arranging for things to happen on earth so Jesus Christ could be born that first Christmas. I don't think any of us have planned for Christmas 2025, have we? We've not sorted out what gifts we're going to give to people next year. Some of us haven't even sorted them out for this year. I will admit that. I still haven't got a few. We'll keep that quiet. No. God was planning so far in advance because it was such an important event. Let me give you a picture. How much time does it take to plan for a wedding? Let's imagine John and Sophie fall in love and get engaged and are going to be married. They start to think of the time of the year. Well, it would be nicer in the spring or at least when it's not midwinter, when it's cold. And then they fix the day. And then, of course, Sophie's mother is involved. Where shall we have the reception? Who can we invite? Oh, we can't invite her because... Oh, we can't invite him because... It's like a military exercise. Who you can and who you can't invite to the wedding for great historical reasons. They have to sort out dresses. They have to sort out their hairs, the flowers, the cars, the reception. Everything has to be sorted out. And could you imagine Sophie's mother ringing up the day before the wedding, ringing up a hotel and saying, I'd like a reception in your hotel tomorrow at 3 o'clock for 150 people, please. Of course not. It's done so far in advance because it's important. It's very important. And then, of course, they sort out their honeymoon. Her new passport comes with her new name. The ticket's obtained. And they spend a few days somewhere exotic. Perhaps Heathrow Airport, because there's an air controller strike and they're stuck there for a few days. But they do planning. They organise things because it's important to them. And can you imagine the fateful day, a fortnight, a week to a fortnight after they come back? John says to his beloved wife, Sophie, it's about time we had my mum and dad round for a meal. And you can almost imagine her face falling, her heart dropping to her boots. Oh no, I can't do it. What was she like? Will she look down on my cooking? Will she think I can't look after her son like she did? What will she think? Is the house clean enough? Is it dusty? And so for the next, let's say, fortnight, she's frantic, cleaning everything, preparing everything. I suppose the last thing that you would ever expect, whatever they do, is that when Sophie's parent, mother and father-in-law walk through the door, you would not expect her to say, you know, I've been busy this last fortnight. I've been so busy, I haven't had time to do any cooking. We're going to have a takeaway. Do you prefer Chinese or Indian? You would never expect that, would you? Of course not. She plans and plans and plans because it's so important to her that when her in-laws come for a meal, everything is spot on and perfect. The more important the event, the more detailed the planning. We don't leave anything to chance. We arrange everything down to the smallest, the finest detail. And God was doing exactly that. God was planning things not just 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 15 months, a year or two in advance. God was planning the birth of his son, Jesus Christ, far, far, far back in history. Now, some parents, when their son is born, because they wish their son to get on in life, they'll put them down for Eton or one of the other public schools the moment they're born. But God was working before Christ was born. He was active before he was conceived in the womb. You can look at the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and there you will read these words: Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way for me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. He is coming. I'm planning it. I'm organizing it. And Malachi was writing 400 years earlier. It's no spur of the moment thing. Others who wrote earlier, who lived earlier and wrote about the birth of Jesus, we've heard from the prophet Isaiah. We've heard about Micah, who spoke about the fact that Christ, the Messiah, the one who was to come, the King, would be born in Bethlehem. And he lived 700 years before Christ. God knew what he was doing. God knew what needed to be done because it was vital. It was so very important that Jesus Christ was born. That the Son of God came down to be born in that stable in Bethlehem. On a few of the readings, we've heard King David mentioned. Joseph being of the house, the line of David. David lived 1,000 years before Christ. And he spoke about the one who was to come in some of the Psalms. And when David himself was unable to build a temple in Jerusalem, he was told that one of his sons, one of his descendants, would reign on his throne forever. Again, God was telling David 1,000 years before Christ was born, one is coming. I'm preparing. I'm telling you, it's going to happen, so you will not be surprised. So your descendants should listen, take note, and be aware of the fact that there is this one who is coming to be born. God didn't want there to be any last-minute hitches. God didn't plan and then throw up his hands in despair, or not plan and throw up his hands in despair. Moses spoke about Christ. Abraham, 2,000 years before Christ, God spoke to him and said, in one of your descendants, all the nations of the world will be blessed. There'll be a blessing that comes to everyone, to all peoples. It's there for us all. I'm working on it. I've got my plan. I'm arranging things. And he's going to be born in Bethlehem. It's going to happen then. That's the biggest momentous event. That's the vital event for the blessings to come upon the peoples, the nations of this world. That's serious long-term planning, if you ask me. Some of us can't plan next week. Some of us can't organise our presents or our meals. Everything was foretold there in the Old Testament. It was prepared for. It was organised. Every participant was in the right place at the right time, because it was so very vital. There is nothing more important, because without the birth of Jesus Christ, there'd be no hope for you and there'd be no hope for me. Without the birth of Jesus Christ, there could be no life and there could be no death. And then there would have been no forgiveness for our sins. Can you remember the words that the angel said to Joseph? That angel said to him, "You must call his name Jesus." And then he gave a reason. "Because he will save his people from their sins, from all the wrong things we've done, all the wrong thoughts we've had, all the wrong attitudes that we've had. He will save us. He will deliver us. He will rescue us from the consequences of all those things." And if there is no birth, then there can be no rescue. There can be no deliverance for anyone from the plight we are in. God's mind was focused on that event, and he directed history towards it. It was that birth was of absolute importance. Absolute importance in the mind of God. So he started to plan for it from the very beginning. He wanted to rescue us. His plan is to deliver us from that desperate situation. The plight that each and every one of us is in. Man, woman, boy, child, girl, it doesn't matter. All of us. We are in a plight that we cannot undo. We cannot deliver ourselves. Way back in the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, we know what that plight is. We know why we need to be rescued. The Lord God commanded the man, that was Adam, saying, "You may eat of every tree in the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." And Adam and Eve ate. They disobeyed that simple plan, simple command of God. They had so many other trees from which they could get fruit, enjoyable, tasty, nutritious, and all the rest of it. But God singled out one. "No, you may not eat that one." And Adam and Eve did. They disobeyed God, and man fell under the judgment of God. Adam and Eve died spiritually. They died totally with respect to God. They became estranged from God. They became his enemy, and eventually they died physically. And we've all inherited that situation, that state. Each and every one of us has inherited that plight from Adam and Eve. But we're also dead towards God because of our own wrong actions and words and thoughts. And above all, because we ourselves have hearts, have natures that are opposed to God. How do we know this? Well, ask yourself one simple question. Do you always, only, ever want to do what is right? Do you ever, always, only want to do what is right? Do you never have that thought, that desire of doing something that you know is wrong? If you do, then you are opposed to God and you lie under his judgment. And each one of us is liable for all the ways in which we have offended God. And we can't do anything about it. We don't have the ability to make amends. No one else can help us. We cannot help ourselves. We're all in that same boat. But God knows what needs to be done. God planned for it to be done. And it happened in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. He sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem the guilty, the offenders, the lawbreakers, from the consequences of all their guilt. At Christmas we celebrate the birth of a baby, Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem. And that is a vital part in the remedy that God provides. As we think of the events of that first Christmas, we should remember that God was bringing to fruition all the planning of thousands of years of history. Christmas is of vital importance to us because God there was planning human history for thousands of years to ensure it would happen. A pivotal moment in human history. If Christ had not been born, there would be no one who could save his people, deliver his people, rescue his people from the consequences of all the things we do wrong. If he hadn't been born, there would be no hope for me, and there would be no hope for any of us at all, no one at all. But what do you, how important is Christmas to you? Is Christmas all about the food you can eat, the presents you can give or receive, the family get-togethers? Or is the most important thing the fact that there was one who was born in order to deliver you from the consequences of all the ways in which you have offended Almighty God, to save you from your sins? This year I would urge you to think about the reason that God planned that first Christmas, and the great lengths to which he went to ensure it took place. We've been singing some great hymns, and in many of them it talks about redemption, buying back something that has been lost or no longer belongs. We've talked about the Saviour, we've talked about the King, we've sung these great words, and we'll sing a few more in a moment. But do you know Jesus as your King? Do you know him as your Saviour? Could you sing with the angels and rejoice with them over the one who has been born in order to redeem sinners, to be the one who would be the means of their forgiveness? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, to deliver you, or not? God cared so much for us. He made such wonderful plans so that Jesus Christ would be born, would live, and would die for those who break his commands. In the face of such love, would it not be right for you to, as we have sung, worship him, to trust him, to ask him to forgive you all of your sins, to cleanse you from each and every one? I hope you have a happy Christmas, a very wonderful Christmas, but I'd urge you to think of the real purpose of Christmas, or perhaps the first purpose of Christmas: God sending his Son so that people who have offended God could be reconciled to God and have all their sins wiped away, every last single one forgiven, so we can have a relationship with God that lasts forever.